God still speaks to people. God did not get rid of that part because he wrote us a book. I want to talk about this. And before I get into this message, I called this I Am Friend. I think I was inspired by I'm Groot. Isn't that his name? Groot? Okay, never mind. If you don't know that, don't worry about it. So in this I Am Friend, I will say that I absolutely hated with a passion the song I Am a Friend of God. I know you all loved it, and you all danced, and you all clapped, and I am a friend of God. He calls me a friend. I mean, like, I did not like that. And you want to know why I did not like that? I didn't like it because it bothered my heart because he's God. He is God. And how am I going to bring God down on my level and call him, like, my best friend? And it irritated me. Now, can I tell you, my irritation was somewhat unjustified, but I do want to get into this. I started looking at it different, and this helped me. My father is my friend. I love my father. He's amazing. We go fishing together. We've gone hunting together. We've spent time together. We've gone camping together. I have a good time with him. I cut up and joke with my father. My father cuts up and jokes with me. We have a great relationship, but there is a time where he speaks that I know to come to attention because my relationship with him is more than just my best friend or a friend with me. He is my father. And so as I begin to look at it through that filter, I begin to be a little better okay with that mentality. But the way I could not imagine treating God like I did my best friend. And that's where I had a problem with it. But God does call us friend. He absolutely does call us friend, but it is a relationship that we recognize. He also is boss. He also is Lord of our life. Yes, he is someone who talks with us. Yes, we have a friendship and a relationship with him. And we can cut up and share time and share our day with the Lord. Even laugh at something he says. If you have not laughed at something the Lord has said to you, not in unbelief, not in doubt, but if you haven't laughed, I don't know if you're listening hard enough. Because there are times that God has spoken to me and said something. I just chuckled and be like, that's funny. Whether it is because, I'm not getting into it. That's mine and his relationship, not yours. I'm not sharing that info. But sometimes he speaks to me and I find it hilarious the things that he says or leads me into. And so God is my Lord. But when he speaks with authority and direction, I know it's not debatable like my friend. If my friend said, let's go to Chipotle, I'd be like, let's go get ribs. But if God said, go to Chipotle, I say, yes, sir. It's a relationship. I have a friendship, but it's more than that. My relationship, my friendship with God is different than my friendship with mankind. And that's where I was hanging up. That's where I was having a problem with calling God my friend. And I had people would tell me, God is my friend. I'm like, well, he's not mine. He's my Lord. I made that statement, and I was wrong because it was the way I was filtering things at that time. And can I tell you something? Words mean different for different people, and I'll give you an instance of this. Billy Brim has a great book on pleading the blood of Jesus, and pleading, one definition means applying, but that's not, I can't use the word I plead the blood of Jesus because plead to me means to beg or to be at a place where you're pleading for your life or you're being judged and you're pleading for mercy for, I know none of you have ever had to plead mercy for a judge before. Neither have I, but that's what is in my mind is pleading, Lord, have mercy on me. And I'm like, no. And yes, her book is right on. The definition is right on. For her, that word means apply. But in my definition, it does not mean apply. So I have to say, I thank you for the blood. Same thing. Different words mean different things to different people. So at that time, I could not call God my friend because what my definition of a friend was, it was not the same as God's definition of a friend. And so if our definition and God's definition does not line up, guess who's wrong? We are. Let's turn to John chapter 15. And then we're going to go to Genesis 18. If you have a paper Bible, you know, there is one of those little leather pieces or little pieces of whatever it is. We learned in Bible school the Greek word for it, stringy, thangy, dangy. That is the appropriate, the Greek, yes, the bookmark as the little stringy, hangy, dangy, thangy. That is Greek pronunciation. You would know that if you went to Bible school. You could put that in Genesis and then flip over to John 15. And we're going to read John 15, 15. And, you know, honestly, that little stringy, dangy, thangy, sorry, speaking above your head, bookmarks, they can also use to hold your Bible as you walk. Yeah, you just grab it and it's connected. It's fantastic. John 15, 15. It says, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not his what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." This is the definition, God's definition of friendship is I tell you what I'm doing. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I am talking to you. The reason I'm telling you what I'm doing is because by my definition, that's what a friend does. That's what God does to his people who he calls a friend. Can I tell you something? Servants are employees. You can tell them to do something and you don't need to even give them a why. They may look at you kind of funny. I've had employers tell me to do something, had no idea why I was doing it, didn't question it because I grew up in a military home. You do what you're told, when you're told, and how you're told to do it. Oh, I'm the only one. I see that. Okay. And so an employer doesn't have to tell an employee why they're doing anything. They're paid to do what they're doing. They have a job to do, and they do it. But God says, you are not my employee, you are my friend, and I am making everything known to you because this is what friendships do. We talk to one another and share life with one another. And God says, I have made known unto you. Now that word made known, you know, in the English, a lot of times we have, let's go back to the Greek and Hebrew. There'll be one word, but we need a couple words to try to explain it. So made known to you is actually one word, and it is the word gnorizo. Jessie doesn't like when I roll my R's because she doesn't believe that I'm saying it correctly, but I'm going to tell you that is spot on. Gnorizo. That is in the Greek. Let's just all say it together. Gnorizo. Look at that. You're learning Greek here. Now, it is translated 16 times made known. It is translated 4 times to declare, 1 time to clarify. What is the definition? To give understanding. God is making known. He is clarifying. He is showing you. He is making things known to you. He is delivering things to you that other people may not know. Now, why does God show us? Why does God talk to us? Because we are friends of God. I got 3 points here because that's what you're supposed to do, right? 3 points in a poem? Thank you. I got one. That was worth it just to hear one person laugh. My first point here is God does not speak to robots. Now, do you understand? We communicate with machines. We communicate with machines. We communicate with people. There's a mechanical communication. I'll give you an instant. You go to an ATM. You put something in. You touch some buttons. You go to Google. You search something. You are communicating mechanically. You build a website. You know, zeros and ones, code, all this. You are communicating mechanically to a machine. Now, God did not program us where all he is doing is downloading information into us to get a desired response. Most denominations believe that it's that way. They want to hear from God to download information to get a desired response. God's communication with you, yes, he's going to get information to you. Yes, he's going to lead you. Yes, he's going to guide you. Yes, he's going to get information to help you change your life and wants a desired response for your life. But God's greatest form of communication is just sharing with his people. Sharing things to come. Sharing about your life. Sharing your day with him. I speak with the Lord, yes, like I would a friend. It's different. But yet we have a relationship together. And when I'm having a hard day, I speak with him about it. I bring it up before him. And I will talk with him and be like, well, this is going on. What you going to do? Because I've come to my end. I can't do anything with this, Lord. So I just trust you. I'm just letting you know right now. I know you know that I know that you know that I know that you know that we both know. I speak to God like that. Why? Because I think he laughs at me. I think God gets a kick out of me. I think God gets a kick out of humanity. I think God has fun with humanity. I think he likes you just the way you are, with all your quirkiness and your weirdness and your strangeness. Yeah, I know you're not strange, you're normal, but I'm strange. And I think God likes my strangeness. I tried to fit in and it was boring. It was the worst 2 minutes of my life. God is okay with my personality. He's okay with me the way I am. Not that I don't need to change anything. Because that's my wife. She has a list, I'm sure. She hasn't showed me, but I'm positive she has a list. I'm not going to look that way. I'm going to stay over here. And I'm sure there's things I need to change. And God will bring it up and God will show me. But that's not the only reason. Have you ever brought up anything you need or your friends needed to change? Yes, of course. I'll tell you one, my best friend, not going to tell you his name right now, but some of you may know it, but I told him, stop wearing stripes. You're too big. Stop wearing stripes. That does not flatter you. Stop it right now. And God may, you know, just tell you something that will help you out. Yeah. If you don't wear deodorant, he'll probably tell you to do so, especially if you want to be dating someone. He'll bring up things like God will communicate with you. You communicate with God and God wants to speak to you. He's not trying to just download information into you to get you to act like he wants you to act. Let's turn to Genesis. Have you found Genesis chapter 18? God wants a relationship with us. Most people want to hear from God to get direction. And yes, he will give you direction. You need direction in your life. You're coming to points of your life, whether we have kids, the summer's coming up. Maybe some of you are seniors and you're thinking, what is my next step? God wants to give you your next step. God wants to show you your options. And can I tell you this? Sometimes it's not, God, give me the direction. Sometimes it's not one. Sometimes he lays a path before you, jobs, opportunities, and he says, pick. Pick this, and I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just warning you in advance, and you do not have to agree with me on this, okay? But I just want to, I'm going to get in trouble. I know that I am. But I just want to give you this information. You know, God says, and I'm speaking to the guys here and the single ladies. All the single ladies. No, I'm speaking to you this morning. You know, God says, a man who finds a? Wife. Finds a good thing. One, he says, wife. Man, wife, man, wife, man, wife. Some of you are being slow. Some of you are very slow this morning. Man who finds a wife finds a good thing. But this is the thing. Most people are saying, Lord, bring me my wife. Lord, whoever she is, just bring her to me. Yeah, there is one. And that one happens when you go into covenant with her. Hello? Then it is one. But God gives you a choice. Now, there are times that God has spoken and said, this is the one. But we only have, what, two references in the entire Bible of that? And let's just go into numbers, mathematical. Okay, let's just get mathematicals. The true number of divorce is around 30%. I don't know why the world will try to tell you it's 50, 52%. Maybe they're just trying to devalue marriage. But the true numbers, because the way that they figure it out is how many people got married that year, how many people got divorced that year, and they come out with a percentage. And that does not add up, and they know that. It is 30-something percent, low 30%, which is still too high. It is still too high. But that is the numbers. So if we have 30% of people messing up, what if, and this is a legitimate question, if I only had one person I could marry and be happy in was the will of God, what if she doesn't listen? Then what am I supposed to do? Sit here and be single for the rest of my life? And would it be the will of God for her to get a divorce so that I could be happy? These are legitimate questions that the church does not want to answer. Because it kills this romantic idea, Jesse. You are the only one. And she is, because we're married. We've made that step. But I am positive, without a shadow of a doubt, if Jesse would have married someone else, she would have had a fulfilled life and she would have been happy. That's one of the things that made me like her so much, was that I did not want somebody that I completed. I don't complete nobody. If Jesus don't complete you, I can't. So, ladies, it seems to happen with you more than men. It does happen with men too, but I need you. And then all of a sudden you go into mother instinct. I'm going to fix him. If Jesus can't fix him, you can't fix him. And let's just, we were not supposed to talk about marriage this morning. But Adam had a job to tend the garden before God ever brought him Eve. Had a job before he had a wife. Be like, you know, I'm in between jobs right now. I don't have a place to stay. Could you put me up? No! There's an old show. You're not going to know this. You're not going to know this. But, you know, Space Odyssey, danger, real Robinson, danger. Whenever he says that, you run. You run. And I'll just say this too. If she's calling you and texting you about marriage within the first week, you probably need to run too. That is danger signs. Get out of that. See, you learn so much stuff when you come to church. And you don't have to accept any of that. I'm not saying it's biblical. I'm just saying it's smart. Genesis chapter 18. Did you find it, your stringy dangy thingy? All right. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. One day I'm going to have somebody come up to read when I have a lot of scriptures to read. Because it's just so much that we're going to be reading this morning. Are you ready to go? 17. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Isn't there a song, that thing which I do? I don't know. But he's basically stating, Abraham, am I going to hide? I'm about to do something big. Am I going to hide it from Abraham? Am I going to hide what I'm doing from Abraham? Now, verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Now, that word know him, if you actually look it up, it actually means talk to him. I talk to him. It's not just knowing, because can I tell you something? If you don't talk to me, you'll never know me. If I just sit here and I'm quiet all day and we sit, you know, that always amazes me. I've heard the story about my granddaddy and grandma getting together, when they were courting. And when they were courting, my granddaddy said for the first month, every day of the week, they sat on the swing on the front porch and just rocked back and forth. And all he ever said to her in a month was, hi and goodbye. And I'm like, that is the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. I don't know. I mean, how do you get to know each other? He's like, I just enjoyed sitting by her. And he said, you're at the end of the month. I scooted a little closer and grabbed her hand. And he said, my Lord, I was flying high that day. I went home. I was out for hours. It was like 3 a.m. before I got to sleep. And then he had to wake up at 5. But anyway, if you don't talk, you're never going to know each other. And God is saying, I know Abraham. I talk, I communicate with Abraham that he will command his children and his household after him. Can I tell you something? This friendship takes time to build. God knew that when he talked to Abraham, Abraham would talk to his family and lead his family in the direction that God was speaking to him. Why? Because God and Abraham have spent time together. They they talked with each other, and God was fully satisfied knowing, because of his friendship with Abraham, what God said to do, Abraham would follow. Friendship is not one way. Marriage is not one way. No relationship is not. None of it's one way. Where you get all the blessing, and nothing goes back in the other direction. Oh Lord! And I don't know why we're talking. I'm sure it's the fault that I did a wedding this weekend. So that's probably on my mind. And so let's just talk about marriage and how that works for just a second. There are roles in marriages. You may not like it. There ain't no role in marriage. I'm not going to do an impersonation of her because I'll get in trouble. But before we were about to get married, she told me, she says, I need you to understand something. I'm like, well, what is that? Don't y'all look at her. You're going to get me in trouble this morning. She said, I am not going to be your little Miss Betty Crocker. I'm not going to be your Southern Belle walking out. You have something to drink by the time you get home. You know, food on the table. Wait for you to serve yourself before the rest of the family eats. That's not how I do things. And I told her, and this is beautiful. She said, in the same conversation, she said, do you think I'm high maintenance? I'm like, baby, first of all, I know you are. I don't think you're high maintenance. I know you're high maintenance. And then number two, if I wanted a Southern Belle, I wouldn't have married a Yankee. Did you hear about the Southern guy who married a Wisconsiner? He was talking to his daddy how things should run. And his daddy said, she don't have food on the table when time you get home. No, sir, she does not. She doesn't bring you a glass of sweet tea out in the yard when you're working, at least for 30 minutes to an hour. No, sir, she does not. You better put your foot down and tell her, woman, I want you in that kitchen. I want you doing something. Oh, Lord, y'all just gave me a horrible look. I just would like to remind you, this is a joke. Calm down. So the father called the son back. He was determined. He's like, I'm going to do it, daddy. I'm going to put my foot down. And the father calls a week later and says, son, how'd everything go? He said, well, I did what you told me, daddy. I put my foot down. I told her, get in that kitchen and things are going to change now. And I'm going to have food on the table. You're going to do this for me because we're in a relationship. This is how it works. And he said, well, did you see any changes? He said, no, so the first day I didn't see anything. Well, what about the second day? No, I didn't see anything. He said, well, what about the third day? He said, third day I was able to open my left eye. You got to watch those Wisconsin girls. But marriage and every relationship gives and takes. That's what it is about. And our roles don't look like my parents' roles. Doesn't look that way. But you guarantee we have them. And every relationship, whether it's friendships or marriage, you have a role to play. You have a part to play because there is give and take. And with God, there is giving and taking. In other words, there is communication. We are communicating with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, the more you learn about God in true relationship. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful I grew up in a church with the mentality that we had. We were not correct. There was a lot of things wrong with us. We were Pentecostal, charismatic. We heard from God. I experienced the presence of God, and I am absolutely sold out to knowing the reason why I never did drugs, the reason why I never went to alcohol, the reason why I never went that way is because I had a relationship with God, and in that relationship, I communicated with Him, and I never wanted to do anything that stopped the communication or hindered the communication or diverted me from the path that the Father had before me. Can I tell you something? Sin, and this, I'm just going to be very real with you for a moment, and a lot of people don't like to hear this. I've said it to people privately, and I've gotten people don't know how to take this, and I don't care if you don't know how to take it. It doesn't bother me that you don't know how to take this. I never sinned because I felt bad after sin. Most of the time, I felt good after sin. Why? Because it was pleasing to me. It almost sounded like, yeah, I don't know if I should finish that. Why sin if it's not something that you enjoy doing? If it was like eating broccoli, some of you may like that, or asparagus, we wouldn't do it. If it wasn't pleasing, you wouldn't do it. The reason why I didn't sin was because I got in some self-condemnation. I didn't get into condemnation afterwards. What bothered me was the thought, did I just hurt the Father? Did I just upset the Father? Did I disappoint the Father? God, I never want to disappoint you. I never want to hurt you. My relationship with Jesse, I'm in covenant with her. I'm not going to cheat on her. And the reason I'm not going to cheat on her is not just because, well, she doesn't like if I do that. So I better keep myself in line. Or even the fact that she would leave me, which I'm pretty sure she's smart enough to do something like that. That's not the reason. I would never want to hurt her. I would never want to hurt her. And I do things. I'm an emotional person. You'll have to forgive me. I tear up over stuff like that. I want to do stuff to bless her. I want to get her favorite chocolates, but they just moved to a new location and I don't know where they are. I want to bring her these things. I want to get her flowers, but at Costco, they're much cheaper than almost anywhere else. I'm just trying to give you a hint on this. Trying to help y'all out. I want to do things that bless her. And then there's times that I'm doing things that bless her. And it's taking me a long time and I still don't have it down right. I miss it the majority of the times. Even when I try to bless her, it's not something she absolutely wants. And it's taken me a long time to even get some of the things that she really wants down. And I still miss it all the time. But I try because I want to bless her. And the reason I'm faithful to her is, one, I'm a faithful person. And two, I love her. And I never want to hurt her. I never want to hurt her. One of my biggest just things that cringe my heart is to think that not even doing something that is wrong, but just doing something that doesn't please her that would cause her to be disappointed in me. I hate that. I hate that thought process. That's why I don't try to pay attention to it that much. Thank you. But God spoke to Abraham. In the verse 20, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because of their sins is grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Can I tell you something? Sin, it is odorous. It reaches the heavens. But your blessing, when you do what is right, it also reaches the heavens. And this reached the heavens. Sodom and Gomorrah got so bad, their sin got so bad that it reached the heavens. And God said, I'm going to go down. I'm going to look. And I'm going to see if everything they're doing, are they truly living this way? In verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now look, God is telling Abraham, look, Abraham, there's nothing I'm going to do in the earth that I don't tell my people because I'm friends with you. I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And if it's true that they're doing what they're doing, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to lift my hands off of them. And everything that would be happening right now, because my protection's on this earth, is going to hit them and they will be destroyed. That sin will be wiped off the face of the earth. So that's what I'm about to do. And Abraham goes, Lord, Abraham draws near, draws close to the Lord. God, do you want it to be known that you destroy the righteous with the wicked together? That really doesn't seem fair, Lord. Is that the kind of reputation you want in the world? Abraham had the ability to speak to God in that manner. Why? Because he communed with God on a regular basis. He talked to God on a regular basis. First, we've read 23, destroy the righteous with the wicked. Let's look at verse 25. And there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare for 50 righteous therein? I'm going to make this short. He continues to say, okay, 50. Would you do it for 40? He is basically bringing the number lower and lower with God, asking him, would you spare it for 10? That's where we get down to. Look around. We have more than 50 righteous people in this place. God would spare Madison, Wisconsin for our church. If we were only left, if it was just us, and thank God we have a lot more righteous people in our city that are meeting in churches all around this city doing great things, God would spare this city. God would spare this nation just for us. Are you thankful for that? I know that I am. Can I tell you something else? There are saved Christians in Iraq, Iran, all over the face of the earth, and their sin and what they're doing against the body of Christ is grievous, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, but God is sparing those cities for the righteous that are in there. And God has great mercy. Now, I think this is interesting. If you want to go in and read all the way down to verse 33, it's awesome. I enjoy it. I like the communication. When I read this story, it always made me kind of chuckle because, you know, Abraham is negotiating with God. Like God doesn't know what's about to come out of Abraham's mouth. Now, I picture things probably a little different than you do. But I picture God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit always having a conversation. I think they're always talking. And I can just see the God the Father bumping Jesus or the Holy Spirit saying, did you hear Abraham? He came to me and he even said at one point, I am just dust and ashes. I'm like, listen to Abraham. Bring up that I made him out of the dust, and the dust he will return. And then him starting with 50, knowing good and well that he was going to go down to 10. Knowing he was going to go to 10. Abraham, he's pretty hilarious. I like this guy. He's different. He's funny. Like, I didn't know where he was going, talking to me like that. I think God enjoyed the conversation with Abraham. I think God talked to him on a regular basis because it gave God pleasure. And even though Abraham talked to God different than you would or different than I would, God enjoyed the conversation. And can I tell you something? You may say, well, I don't have it right. I don't speak to God like the religious people of the day speak to God. Good! Because God has enough of those. And God wants you to be you, who he created you to be. And to speak to him in a manner that is honoring him, absolutely. But speak to him the way you speak. And can I tell you something? I've heard speaking in tongues and prophecy. And you know, in the north, a lot of times it is prophesied. And we'll hear, thus saith the Lord. You know, something real nice. God speaks to you like that up here because you're very well put together. But, you know, back home, I have heard a prophecy end with, thus saith the Lord. Yes, sir, read Bob. Thus saith the Lord. You know why God ends it that way? Because that's who we are. And he speaks to us just like we are, right where we are. In the south, he will put a lot of y'alls in there. And up here, he will put, I don't know how y'all speak, whatever. He'll speak to you just like you are. But God loves the conversation. God loves the friendship. And yours will look different than mine. And mine will look different than yours. There may be some similarities. But God wants you to speak to him right where you are. And if you're struggling with something, who better to take it to than the Lord, who already knows and is good enough to keep his mouth shut about the situation? Unlike some other people who go to other churches, not here. Right. Go to the Lord and say, God, I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't like this in my life. I want to change it. Help me. Help me. And it doesn't even have to be sins. It could just be personality. It could be parts of your life. Maybe you were raised a certain way and you want to get that out of your life. Who else knows that you struggle like that than God himself? You're not bringing up some surprise. It's not like he's blinded to what's going on in your life, but you're saying, God, this is what I'm dealing with. I need your help. I give it to you. Now help me. I quit, but in faith, help me quit. Help me change. And I think God loves those conversations. Or how about this? God, how's your day going? I used to say this and people got onto me in Bible school. At home, it wasn't a problem. But at Bible school, people got onto me. I'd get so excited and praise and worship or just something going on. Or had a good moment. But Lord, just bless yourself. I'm so thankful for what you did. Just bless yourself. And people, you know, back home, they love that. But at Bible school, they're like, Tim, that is not biblical. That is unscriptural. You cannot give me a scripture in the Bible that says that God can bless himself. I'm like, you can't give me one that says he doesn't. So let me have my relationship with God. You have your relationship with God. And if God wants to correct me, let him correct me. And you just keep your little Bible school mouth shut. Mm. I will just point out it wasn't something I was dealing with sin, because you can't, if somebody brings out something that's wrong, you can't deny that if it's in the Bible. But me just saying, Lord, bless yourself. I think God likes that, and I think he does. I don't know how. Maybe he makes a milkshake. I have no idea. That would bless me. And we do know we're going to have a Last Supper. Who says there's not double stuffed Oreo milkshakes in there? It might not be the same way you would do things, but that's all right. I think differently. So God doesn't speak to robots. He speaks to people. That's my second point. God speaks to people. And you know, God spoke to people all through the Bible. I'll name some. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Eve, Moses, David, Solomon, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Zechariah. Sorry, I had to roll my R for Jesse on that one. Haggai, Ezekiel, Jonah, Nathan, Samuel, Joshua, Noah, Cain, Martha, Simon, Saul, Peter, Paul, Isaiah, Gideon. And that's not all of them. He spoke to people all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. He even knocked someone right on their rear off their donkey. And they said, why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am Jesus, the Son of God. Now you're blind. I don't like how you're treating me. Now go to this person's house and I'll take care of it when you get there. I like the Lord. Because sometimes I don't do that. I don't make my kids blind. But sometimes, go to your room and think about it. I'll be there in a moment to fix this. I mean, that's what God did. He showed up and he spoke to someone who didn't even believe in him. He spoke to someone. And can I tell you this? We have record that God is always speaking. We want God to speak to us personally. And yes, he will. But God is always speaking. Are we tuning in and listening to the frequency that God is speaking on? The world is constantly speaking. The enemy is constantly speaking. And can I just tell you, most of the time they're speaking, it's focused 100% about you and on you for your pleasure, your rights. You don't have to take this. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to put up with this. You just go out and be you for whatever makes you feel good. And it's focused on you. But God, when he speaks, he's speaking about the world all the time and the benefit of the church and the benefit of the kingdom. We even have a prophet who heard with a conversation, who will go? Who will I send? And he responded, here am I, Lord, send me. God wasn't even speaking to him directly. He was just tuned in to hear what God was saying. And can I tell you, there's never anything that happens in this world that God is not speaking to his people. John 16 and verse 12, you can write it down. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. When we think of God speaking, we think of a booming voice. And 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us that God speaks in the small, still voice. He leads and guides us. He will direct us. He will prompt us. But God will give you thoughts. Can I help you with something? This is one thing that a minister told me, and it ratified. It really helped me so much. He said, tell me anytime. God can speak to you all the time. But he said, if you're in the training stage, when you're praising and worshiping God, when you feel the presence of God, ask God yes and no questions. Not something you need a whole, paragraph or maybe a whole page to explain, but ask him yes or no questions about your life. And you'll hear clearer because you're in the presence. And then you'll begin to recognize how God speaks to you. And when the presence is not so heavy and thick, you'll begin to recognize it in everyday life. And he said, practice listening to God. And how greater than when you're in church and praise and worship is going and you feel the presence of God landing all around you, begin to speak to God and listen. Because can I tell you, no one wants a friend who only speaks about themselves. Hello. My last point, God speaks to friends. Exodus 33 and 11 says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend." James, the New Testament, 2 and 23 says, "And these scriptures were fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called a friend of God." What did Adam and Eve do before the fall? In the evening of the day, in the cool of the day, they walked and talked with God. What is God restoring us to? That relationship. That time where we can speak to God on a regular basis. Zechariah 13 and 6, it says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Those who crucified him. He says, these wounds, my crucifixion was done in the house of my friends. Isn't it interesting? I don't know in my own thought process if people who hurt me that I would call the house of my friends. And God, aren't you thankful that I'm not God? Aren't you thankful that you're not God? That God has greater compassion. And he says, these people are my friends. Those who don't know him, he still calls them his friend. He has spoken to those who are not saved. The only difference between us and them is we are trying to cultivate a relationship with the Father. Now, we ought to be hearing the Lord. Now, verse Matthew 26, where Judas betrayed Jesus. Verse 48, "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And they came and they laid hands upon him." Jesus, at his very betrayal, looked at Judas and said, "Friend, you come here for this? My friend." God's definition of friend is a little different than ours. John 15, and I'm ending. John 15 and 13. We've already quoted this scripture. "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." God died before you ever accepted him as Savior. And for people he knew would never accept him as Savior, he died and said, "I have died for my friends. For people that I'm going to speak to. People that I'm going to talk to. There's nothing that is going to happen that I am not going to speak to them." The question is, are we tuning in and listening to the Lord? Everyone in this place with our head bowed and our eyes closed, I want us to take a moment and ask God, what are you trying to say to me in this message? What are you speaking to my heart right now? And what we're doing now is listening. I believe many of you, God is impressing, showing you, prompting you what he was trying to say to you in this message. And some of you right now, your question, is it really this simple? Is that really God speaking to me? Yes. God has made it simple to speak to him and him to speak to you. It's not always the loud thundering boom, the lightning, the shaking of ground, but the still small voice. I thank you, Father, that your people right now, right here, we're hearing the Lord.